Welcome to another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. Today, I'm talking with Mary Thea Brosnan of Kerry Kefir. At Kerry Kefir, they produce an authentic live milk kefir, a natural probiotic full of beneficial bacteria and yeast to support gut health naturally. We talk about Mary Thea's own journey with IBS. We talk about many of the different studies, and there's lots of links in the studies in the show notes to show the benefits of good bacteria that you can get from a milk kefir. So be sure to listen to the end to see her three top tips to help improve your health, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome, Mary Thea. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. Would you like to introduce yourself to my audience?
Yes, thanks, Fiona. My name is Mary Thea Brosnan, and I'm from Castle Island in County Kerry, and we produce an authentic live kefir here in our small little production facility in Castle Island.
Fantastic. And people who have been following know I love fermented foods and kefir, but I'm dying to hear all about your product and what brought you to here and how your product is streets ahead of some other products that might be on the market. So shall we start at the beginning? Do you want to tell me, first of all, about your, I understand you had a journey with IBS and digestive issues that have led you to where you are today. Would you like to fill us in on that?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, years ago, like all throughout my teens and my early 20s, I had really poor digestion. I used to get sick a lot. I had a lot of, say, tonsillitis, chest infections. So I was on a lot of rounds of antibiotics all throughout my life. And poor digestion in that I couldn't digest my food properly. I had fluctuated between constipation and diarrhea, just constantly bloating, cramps, just feeling generally unwell. And I eventually went to a doctor who sent me on to see a consultant, and I was diagnosed with IBS. And I was, the consultant wrote me a prescription for Colofac to take before every meal for the rest of my life. And at that point I was 25. So I was like, there's just no way I'm going to take a tablet before every meal, like forever. So I started intensely researching IBS. And this was, I mean, this is like over 10 years ago now, 12, 15 years ago nearly. So I found different ways to help my own digestive issues, and it was mainly through diet at that time. So, and that really, it definitely helped, but I was still not digesting my food. So while my symptoms had resolved a little bit, I still wasn't able to digest properly, and I continued to get sick. So it was then I found a nutritionist in Dublin who was advocating milk kefir for IBS, and I decided to give it a go. So I bought the kefir grains and I started to make it myself at home. And within a week, it had completely transformed my digestion. Like, I actually couldn't believe it. My bowel movements became more regular. I was actually able to digest my food, and it just completely transformed my health and my life, because I was so fascinated by it. I actually couldn't get over it. So I started telling everybody about it. And like you know, I was telling people like how amazing it is and that they should make it at home themselves. And a lot of people had said, oh, I've tried making it at home myself, but after a few months I gave up because it was like having a pet, you know, you have to look after it and everything. So it was at that point in 2018, I decided to move home to Kerry and start the business.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's a great story. I mean, I personally haven't had digestive issues. I do see lots of other benefits of fermented foods. But like you, I've seen people who've come to me, said they've been advised to take it. And once they start taking it, it just makes so many changes, you know, and how much better is that than taking a tablet every day? So I'm delighted to hear that that your gut is all sorted now. So well done. And I can imagine how that inspired you to set up the business all right.
Yes, absolutely.
So I suppose then you've got a link there that we can share in the show notes about the prevalence of these gastrointestinal disorders. 40% of adults suffer from some form of digestive issues. So do you want to maybe give us an example of some of those digestive issues and some of those key takings or things that stood out for you in the study?
Yeah, so a lot of them, you know, the most would be bloating, acid reflux is a huge one, constipation as well, just general digestive upset, cramping, and then, you know, things like diverticulitis then you could go into, and irritable bowel disease, IBS as well. So these are all gastrointestinal conditions, but some of them diseases as well. And it's kind of, when you hear 40%, it is quite a large number. Like that's 4 in every 10 people who are suffering with some form of it. And a lot of it can be down to just imbalance in the gut, imbalance in the gut microbiome, obviously our processed foods that we eat, the high sugar diets that we have, stress in our lives, you know, all these are contributing factors to it. So I just thought that number was quite startling. And I think it's only when you talk about these things that people kind of go, oh yeah, actually I have that, you know, or I know somebody who has that, you know, my husband has it, or my father has it, or my mother suffers with that. And so I think it's important that we start talking more openly about these conditions and how people can work towards resolving them themselves without going, well, always go to the doctor, but without taking that medication as a first stop, you know, look at the diet first, maybe.
Yes. And the steroid use, antibiotic use, and alcohol would be some of the other things of that list that I know you didn't get to mention there that would contribute or could contribute to poor gut health. So we've got that article there for people if they want to have, you know, further research into that. So your milk kefir, can you tell us how it is made?
Yes, so we make it with the living organisms, so the living cultures, called kefir grains, and so they're symbiotic cultures of bacteria and yeast, and they exist naturally in nature. And so when we put them into milk, so we use local cow's milk, pasteurized milk. You put them into your milk, and they ferment the milk. So during the fermentation process, they're going to digest the lactose out of the milk. So that's their energy source. And as they're digesting that lactose, their bacteria and yeasts are being multiplied, and they transfer over into the milk, basically. And during the fermentation process as well, all, you know, the proteins and the fats as well are partially digested by the bacteria. And so the resulting product that you get is totally different to milk. It's not as thick as yogurt, but it's kind of somewhere in between. And so we ferment our product for about 30 hours. And it's literally just the milk and the grains, leave it to ferment at room temperature, so we don't have any heating involved or anything like that. And we remove the kefir grains afterwards manually through a sieve, and we bottle the finished product then.
Okay. And so you say that these cultures are naturally there. So where do you get yours from?
So all the grains that I have currently came from my original batch that I bought from the nutritionist in 2017. So yeah, so because they grow and multiply, once you look after them and once you're feeding them with the milk, and making sure that they're healthy, then they're going to grow and multiply. So nearly every 2 months, 2 to 3 months, they double in size. And yeah, so since 2017, I've been growing them.
And have you done research into where exactly the grains, if we can try and track back the ancestral roots of the grains?
Yes, so they came from the Caucasus Mountains between Georgia and Russia. That's where they reckon they originated from. And nobody quite knows how they came about. But from what I've read, I've kind of pieced together a theory that I think makes the most sense. So basically, they used to store their milk in a goat stomach bag. So the stomach of a goat, and they would hang it over their door. And so likely the internal bacteria inside the goat's stomach over time formed these kefir grains, you know, and then they started to realize that when they stored the milk with these grains in the stomach, that it would last longer. So it was a method of preservation of the milk for them because they didn't have fridges. Like, this is going back over 2000 years ago, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and they were kept secret for years. These kefir grains were kept secret and they were just passed down from generation to generation because they thought they were magic. And so eventually it became a Russian official demanded that kefir become well known and available to everybody in Russia. And so that's how it started being more commercially available.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love the story. what volume do you make?
So per batch, we're doing about 130 liters per batch, all in kind of small glass jars. And at the moment we're in production about two or three days a week for production. And then there's pre-production where you have to prepare the grains and sterilize everything and all the extra work that goes with it. Yeah.
And is it an organic milk that you use?
We're not using organic. We actually don't have access to organic milk here in locally. So it is from local farms. They're all grass-fed cows, and the it's a local co-op basically. So lots of farmers within the locality, and the milk has won awards. So it is very good, high quality milk. It's just that they don't have the label organic. They haven't certified it organic.
Okay, so now the next bit, what I know you'll be very passionate about. There's some other brands out there, and you know, similar drinks that are branded as being good for your gut. What is the difference between your kefir and some of the other kefirs that might be out there?
Yes, so because we use the grains, so this is like the most natural form that you can have using the grains. So like that, if you make it at home yourself, then you are getting the most natural form of kefir that you can get. So we're committed to only producing that form of kefir. It's a homemade, handmade product. There's no equipment out there that will allow you to mass produce this product because you're using a living organism. You really have to look after. You have to use glass. You can't just use any old material with it. And so because we're doing that, you're getting much more diversity in your bacteria, in the grains, in the end product. But the other products out there, they're using powdered bacteria. So they're not using the actual living organisms. So they get their freeze-dried powdered bacteria that comes from a manufacturer in Germany. And this manufacturer is like the leading global manufacturer for probiotic powders. And so when you're using that, the bacteria have been deactivated. And a lot of the time they're putting in additional substances like sucrose or dextrose to help the bacteria survive a little bit longer in the packaging. And so these are like sugars. And when you want to reactivate this powdered bacteria, you have to heat up your milk to encourage the fermentation. And so when you put the powdered bacteria in, you're reactivating the bacteria. And then your fermentation time is much shorter as well. So your fermentation time is maybe about 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours. And that's like a really quick, fast fermentation with the heated milk, with the powdered bacteria. And you're not getting the same diversity of bacteria as you do with the kefir grains. So with the grains, they actually fluctuate all throughout the year, depending on the environment, depending on the temperature, depending on the seasons, depending on the milk that you're feeding them. And what's amazing about that is if it's natural to your own environment, then you know, a particular type of bacteria might be more active in January and might be less active in June. And then in June, a different one is more active. And so you're going to get a fluctuation in the bacteria and the yeast that's in your kefir. And that's what you want. So your gut wants different bacteria, wants different diversities. That's what we need. Whereas the supermarket ones and a lot of the ones that you'll see on the shelf, they're commercially made, they're mass produced, and they just don't have that diversity. They also don't have yeast in it. So, the definition of kefir is a combination of bacteria and yeast. And these kefirs that are on the market don't have any yeast in them. So they only have bacteria. And while those bacteria are going to be good and they are going to be beneficial, and you will get benefits from them, if you're going to do something good for your health, like doing it the most natural way is the best way to do it, in my opinion.
I get that. And I think it's very interesting what you're saying about the different seasons, different times of the year and different bacteria. Have you ever had your product tested to see what bacteria strains are in it at any particular?
Not yet, but I have sent it off just about a month ago now to get it tested. So we probably get it tested this time of year, coming into kind of the spring now, where the cows are grazing on the grass again and the seasons are different. And then you get a completely different kefir then during the winter, where it's colder, milder temperatures. So it'll be interesting to compare to see which are more activated. First of all, we're going to just concentrate on exactly what species of bacteria and yeasts are in ours. And then we can do more quantitative count of how many of each, what's the biggest and what's the smallest.
Great. Yeah, I'd love, as you know, I make my own, but I would be really curious to see what is in those, because I would imagine it would be quite similar. So let me know when you get those back.
I will, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so I remember at one stage you put a post up on social media about a customer going back to the supermarket rather than coming back to you, that the product can taste slightly different to other products. Do you want to explain how that works?
Yes. So when you're making traditional kefir, it's not going to be as thick as, well, you can, when you're making it at home, you can have it as thick or as thin as you want it, really, but say when we're making it and bottling it to sell it into and have it on a shelf, we keep it on the slightly thinner side. And as the time goes on, it is going to get thicker. So when we bottle it initially, it's a lovely kind of creamy consistency. And then say 2 weeks in, it's starting to thicken up. And then eventually it'll start to separate into what's known as curds and whey. So as the fermentation continues, you're going to get a very thin kind of liquid called whey, and then some lumps, which are the curds. But this is still totally fine to drink, totally fine to consume. You just mix it together. Now, sometimes if it's very active and you shake the bottle, it's known as the champagne of milk. So when you open it, it can come out like a volcano, basically, out of the bottle. So if it's 2 or 3 weeks after production, you do need to be careful when you're opening it. But you just get a jug on hand, open it slowly, and let it overflow into the jug. And like champagne, the foam will settle. And once it's settled down, you can drink it as normal. Like, it's absolutely fine to still consume it. But the taste is going to be slightly fizzy, which surprises people, because there's yeast naturally in the kefir grains, whereas the supermarket commercial products, they don't have any yeast. So they don't have any fizz in theirs. And because ours is still active, you are going to get that fizz, and you are also going to get quite a tangy flavor because it's natural. We don't put any flavors in it. But the commercial ones, when you order your powdered bacteria from the manufacturing company in Germany, you can state whether you want it really thick, really thin. You can state whether you want it very sour, not that sour. You can tell them exactly what type of flavor profile you want, and they will adjust the number of bacteria that they put into your powder, basically, based on that. But when you're making traditional homemade kefir, you can't do that. It just is what it is. And we try our best to keep it consistent, but with the temperatures and changing environments in Ireland and everything, it's nearly every batch is different.
Okay, so Mary Thea, can I just confirm for some of our listeners who maybe haven't made milk kefir before and they're not too sure of the process, if I've got it right. So basically for 30 hours, you have your locally produced pasteurized milk and you put your live kefir grains into it. After 30 hours, you will strain it out and you bottle what's left, and the grains will have multiplied slightly and they will be used for another batch. I'm guessing a tiny little bit of that bacteria and yeast kind of gets through and it continues to ferment in the bottle, on the shelf and in your fridge. And that's why it'll continue to get thicker. Am I right? It'll get slightly stronger or sharper in flavor. And that's where it might split up. So I just wanted to, you're nodding away at me so I can let the listeners know that, yes, that is how it's done. But I just wanted to explain, because sometimes people mightn't understand why it's continuing to ferment, etc.
Yes, exactly. So we don't deactivate the bacteria once it's fermented. So the bacteria are still very much active and live in the end product. And so they continue to consume the lactose in the milk and continue to digest the fats and the protein as well. And so they're still very much active. Sometimes you'll find in commercially made products, they have deactivated the bacteria. So they're no longer actively fermenting in the bottle.
Okay. And is there an optimum time to consume it? So will the levels of bacteria increase, or will they end up dropping off and you're kind of better using it, you know, in terms of not in terms of a food safety and consumer point of thing, but in terms of maximizing your probiotics?
So I would say, like, after the 30 hours for us, you are going to have a well fermented product. So even at that point, you are going to get the potentially up to 30 strains of bacteria and up to 10 strains of yeast. Now, the colony forming units, so how many units have they actually formed after that 30 hours, might be slightly lower at that point compared to, say, another week later, where you'll still have the same 30 strains of bacteria, but you might now have, you know, each of those strains will have multiplied in their colony forming units. So either way, the key is the diversity. So it's the strains. So if you're getting those 30 strains, even in small numbers, once you have them in your digestive tract and you feed them all your good foods, they're going to form the colony forming units in your gut.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So we always say after the 30 hours, you're going to have a well fermented kefir. But as the time goes on, yeah, it's going to get stronger, and you are going to have more colony forming units and bacteria in there, which is still perfectly fine to consume. You're just giving yourself a good whack of these bacteria. But it's not necessary for overall gut health. You can drink it at any time, up to a point where, like you said, they start to die off then, because they no longer have any food in the product. So that's when it's, you know, when it's really separated into the curds and whey, and it's gone maybe about a week or two after, once it's separated curds away, and then you wait another week or two, then they're probably starting to die off.
Okay. And so how do you like to consume your milk kefir?
I prefer to drink it straight. So I will drink it, and again, fits into my routine best first thing in the morning. So empty stomach, first thing in the morning, it'll be the first thing that I have. Other times then I go through phases of drinking smoothies, and I'll put it in with my smoothie instead. So that's mostly when I have it. I have a lot of customers who prefer it last thing at night. And that's completely fine as well. Or I always just say, whenever you can actually just get it into you is the best time.
And if somebody has never had kefir before, would you advise them to start slowly, or how would you?
Definitely. Yeah. So if you've never had any fermented foods, start slowly. So we'd kind of, you know, even at with our product, even people who've been drinking for a while, we still 100 to 150 mils a day is fine, especially if you're drinking it regularly, you know? So, you know, you're better off with all types of fermented foods is to start small anyway, introduce just small amounts and see how you get on, because it can take some time for the stomach to get used to it. And especially if, like me, you have like sensitivities and, you know, your IBS can flare up quite quickly, depending on what you eat. Starting small is really important. And then you'll know yourself whether or not it's suiting you. And so 100 to 150 mils is sufficient a day.
Okay. And you sell them in liter bottles or
something? In liter bottles, yes. So that's a 10-day supply usually. So most people probably get through it in a week, I would say.
Okay.
They would have a liter.
So where can people get it?
So the best, if you want the freshest of it, it's through our online website. So we send out orders every Monday and Wednesday. So from Sunday's production batch, we send them out on Monday. And then from Tuesday's production batch, we send them out on Wednesday. And that's a delivery direct to your door through DPD. So we keep it chilled in transit. And we use glass bottles, which can be reused. The packaging that we use as well for our online orders, once you've built up, once you've saved a few of the wraps and the ice packs and stuff, we'll actually organize a collection to take them back from you and we can reuse them. So that's probably the best way to get it. And then alternatively, if you're in Kerry, we're in Super Values, available in Super Values in County Kerry. And outside of that, we have a national distributor called Independent Irish Health Foods, and they deliver to the majority of health stores across Ireland. So if you have a local health store that you frequent, you can ask them to order it in for you. And they can order it.
Your website is kerrykefir.ie?
.ie, yes, yeah. Or .com, yeah, we have both, I think, yeah. So.
Okay. And so just to backtrack a little bit, when you say about the glass bottles, so imagine I'm ordering regularly from you, you will take those bottles back and reuse them, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And you're, am I right in saying you're in the Food Academy?
Yes, yeah. So we launched with Food Academy last May. Well, yeah, last May 2022. So so we're in 9 Super Values in Kerry at the moment.
Great. And how's that going for you? Is there plans to expand?
Yeah. We're looking to get into Cork Super Values next. And I think the hardest part with our product is chilled distribution. So trying to get it delivered to these places, keeping it cold in transit. And then the shelf life is about 3 weeks, which is okay, which is decent enough. But with a fresh product like kefir, I do like to, most people prefer it fresh than when it's kind of 3 weeks down the line, you know. So yes, we like to keep it fresh on the shelves for our customers.
And so in terms of dietary guidelines, I think you'd like to see fermented foods included in that. Do you want to
tell us
what your thoughts are?
Yeah. So there's been, you know, huge amounts of research done recently on fermented foods and the gut microbiome. And this is all really kind of a new area of research and science. And while fermented foods have been around for like hundreds of years, thousands of years, and the science is catching up with it now. And so the science is showing that having a diet rich in fermented foods actually improves your microbiome diversity. It reduces inflammation in the gut and it improves our immune responses as well. And further research that was done in Cork, actually, by APC Microbiome, they have shown that a diet high in fermented foods and a prebiotic diet, which is like your fibers that are going to feed your bacteria, that actually reduces stress and stress-related diseases. And so there's just huge research being done on that area, like with the reducing of the inflammation. These are things that can lead to diabetes and arthritis, like chronic inflammation like that. And so if fermented foods becomes part of dietary regulations, you know, then from a younger age, these are going to be included in people's diets. And so the prevalence of these conditions will reduce.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to see it all. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Gracie, I always ask people, my guests, could you give me three tips that the audience could take away to improve their health now?
Yes. So one thing I think I did that has really stood to me is learning how to read ingredients. So anytime I pick up something in the supermarket, if I haven't had it before, I'll always look at the ingredients. And now sometimes you'll decide, you know what, I don't care, I just want it anyway. And then other times, especially if it's promoting to be a gut health or a healthy product, you need to know how to read those ingredients, because if the ingredient list is too long or if there's complicated words in there, then it's not going to be healthy. So that's tip number one anyways, to learn to read ingredients on packages. And then the second one is to include fermented foods as part of your daily diet. And so that can be your kefir, it can be your kombucha, it can be your sauerkraut, kimchi, miso, like there's so many good things, yogurt, natural yogurt. And by doing that, you're just going to really boost your gut microbiome and help your gut health. And then the third one would be to increase your prebiotic foods. So the foods that feed your good gut bacteria. And we can do that by eating a variety of different fruits and vegetables. So always think, you know, I had an apple today. Oh, I'll have an orange tomorrow. Or, you know, I'll have a pear the next day. You don't have to have an apple every day. If you can vary it, your microbes in the gut are actually going to be more thankful and happier with you, because different microbes eat different fibers. And so if we can get as much of a variety of fibers, that's going to keep our diversity of bacteria happy. And that's where we can really build up good, strong gut health.
Fantastic. I love those three tips. So we've got learn to read the ingredients or the products of on your and something that you're buying, excuse me. And two is incorporate fermented foods. Yes, I'm a big fan of that. And three is vary your fruits and vegetables. I think they say now to have 30 different touch points of plant-based foods a week, so that you have to get the idea of having that whole variety. So they're really practical tips that people can take away and obviously go in and buy some Kerry kefir if they're not already making it themselves. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up today, Mary Thea?
No, I don't think so. If I love chatting to customers and just talking about things. So if anyone ever wants to get in touch and have a chat, I'm happy to do so.
Fantastic. So in the show notes, we will put in, there's a few articles that you've shared with us. So if people want to go and dig deeper, please check out the show notes and look at the details there. And then there's links to your social media and your website there. So thank you so much for today.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast on Cook, Eat, Nourish with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. I'd really appreciate if you would subscribe, rate and review the podcast to help spread the word. And if you pop over to my website, fionasfoodforlife.ie, you'll find lots of recipes, videos, inspiration and upcoming courses. Thanks a million.